gives illustrations. Then he gives illustrations to illustrate his illustrations. Then he gives illustrations to illustrate his illustrations to illustrate his illustrations. And so what Paul is doing, he's giving another illustration of the past of the children of Israel. That's what we're going to get into chapter 1. But before he gets into it, there's a word moreover. That word connects us back to what we looked at last week. He says, all right, I want to give this thought of learning from our past, but I want you to see the conceptualized idea of the race. Remember, we looked at the race last week. Let us run the race that is set before us, running our race well. And Paul even says that he didn't want to be a castaway. He wanted to make sure that he was doing what God wanted him to do. And he says, this is how we do it. We looked at the training. We looked at the obstacles. We looked at everything that Paul gave us in those portions of Scripture and how we could run our race well. Now, with that in mind, now Paul's going to talk about the children of Israel. He's going to say the children of Israel had all the opportunity to run the race well, but they did not run the race well. And then he gives this for us to learn from. So this morning we're looking at the thought of learning from the past. Learning from the past. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Or are some of you the old dogs that you can't teach new tricks, all right? I know some of you have a hard time of being taught something. And that, but what Paul wanted the children of Israel to get is, I'm going to show you what God has done. I'm going to show you the greatness of God. I'm going to show you we have everything that you need and how God protected and how God provided, how God did all this. But I want you to take this and I want you to learn from the past and I want you to run your race well that God has called you to. I don't want you to fall in the traps that Israel's fallen in. I don't want you to fall in the traps that other believers have fallen in. I want you to run and finish the course that God has set before you and put all your strength and all your might and run it in a way that is pleasing in God's sight. This morning, as we look at this thought of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll get in some of these verses this morning, I want you to see, as we're striving to run, we're going to remember what God has done for us. And remember what God did for the children of Israel. And remember the strength and the power that we have as we run our race. If you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers are under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. And we were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for an examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. And Lord, help us as we look at this portion of Scripture. You would speak to hearts, I pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 11 says, these are written for our example, and these were written that you may be exhorted, taught, challenged, corrected, so you change the way that you're going. All right? I want you to get this. We're going to preach on that verse maybe probably next week. We won't get into this, but I want to use that as a springboard. Verse 11, what is he saying here is I want you to understand what he's saying up to this point is for you to learn from. He wants us to learn. He does not want us to go the same pathway that the children of Israel is going. He wants us to be an example that you change what you're doing. Why do we study history? The purpose of studying history is what? We learn from their past mistakes, their past failures, and we change it. We're not to repeat history. Now, it's interesting. In our world today, we are going back to some of the same things that they found defeat before, and they keep going back to the old days. Now, a teachable person is one who learns from their past mistakes and changes what they're doing for the future. And this is the purpose this is here. Now, in this portion of Scripture, he's going to let them know you need to run your race well. And you have all the tools. You have all the capabilities of doing it. But the children of Israel didn't do it. I just want to be straightforward this morning. I believe in our churches today, in our assemblies today, we have a lot of people that have all the tools and all the ability that they need to run the race well. But to be honest, many of us are failing. I believe we're living in a day and age where there are many believers that have started strong, as we looked at last week. And we looked at that example of running the race that Paul gave there. And Brother Jamie and Dave, and some of you are insane people running races, and you try to kill yourselves. It's suicide. But in a spiritual realm, you're running this race. And we have all the abilities we can do, all the tools we have. But we're not doing it. We look back and we look at this portion of Scripture and say, well, here's the example given to us. Here's what we should be doing. Here is what we shouldn't be doing. But we just go ahead and keep doing it our way. Now, if I was going to run a race, do you know what I would do? I would go and talk to someone that has had victories and someone that's had failures. Because I would want to be teachable and learn from them. You say, why would you want to learn from someone that had failures? Because I don't want to make the same mistakes that they made. I want to learn from their not smartness. All right? I want to learn from what they've done wrong. I don't want to repeat the same things. I don't want to do the same things they do. And the ones that had victory, I want to find out what they're doing so I can start implementing that. So I can start doing that in my life so I can have victory. Now, if someday I woke up not in the right mind, and I decided I want to enter a race. I'm sorry, I love Brother Rich. But Brother Rich, I'm probably not going to ask you for advice how to run a race for the victory. You know what I'm going to ask you? I'm going to ask you your advice what did you learn from your failures of racing? When you were on the playground and you played tag with some individuals and you're racing, why'd you lose every time? You're slow, all right. And you would learn from that. Now, if I wanted victory, I want to talk to Brother Jamie, I would talk to Brother Dave. No, just kidding. I would find out what are some success, what are some ways, what are some things, and learn from those. So as we have that mindset, let's look at verse number 1. It says, moreover, brother, I would not that ye shall be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the truth of what God did. Now, what he says in this portion of Scripture, he focuses the attention to the nation of Israel in the wilderness. He didn't want them to be ignorant what God did for his people. What God did for his people when they're in the wilderness and how God took care of them. How God showed his care. How God showed his love for them. He didn't want them to be ignorant of those truths. Paul brought up the event that the rock that came with them. Now, we understand, too, in Israel, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but Christ is that spiritual rock. We're going to get into that a little later on. But also talked about how wherever they went, God gave them supplies of physical water. God gave them supplies of food wherever they went. God provided. God cared for them. God took care of them. God did everything that they needed when they were in the wilderness of their lives. Even says that they were baptized under Moses in the cloud. That means Paul was saying by following Moses and his leadership through the Red Sea and under the pillar of fire and cloud, they were immersed and totally involved in his mission to reach the promised land. That they were following that leadership. God gave them the leadership. God gave them what they needed. They were baptized under Moses in the cloud and the fire. God was guiding them. God was directing them. God was giving them. He gave them the cloud, the Shekinah cloud. That means the presence of God. Just like in the Old Testament, and just like we're in the Holies of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant. That was the presence and power of God. The Shekinah cloud was the cloud of the presence and power of God. He says, you had Moses, your physical leader. You had God, your spiritual leader. He was leading you, guiding you, directing you through the wilderness. You had all that you need. He says, don't be ignorant. I want you to know how God took care of your forefathers, how God provided for them, what God did for them in the wilderness, God can do for you. Don't be ignorant of those truths. I want to say this morning as we look at this thought of learning from our past, we need to remember some truths of God's past provisions. God's past provisions. You see, God provided for the past for the children of Israel. Do you know, as they were in their wilderness, as they were going through this, they didn't have need of anything. Oh, they might have had some wants that was not fulfilled, but all their needs were taken care of. They had food. They had water. They had clothing that seemed to never get tired. How many are like that? You could have the same clothing and you could keep going. The same sandals upon your feet that never get tired. Broken and that. Some of you are like, can we have stuff like that today? The stuff we buy today doesn't last more than a day sometimes, right? But God kept providing. God kept taking care of. Let's just give a side note here. I tell you, when you're faithful to God and you're following God, God's going to provide, and some things are going to last longer than what other people last, by the way. That's just a side note there. And God provided. God was taking care of. God was doing what he needed. See, they needed to be reminded and learn from the past provisions. If God did this for them in the wilderness, guess what God can do for you today? If God took them through the Red Sea, guess what God can do for you today? If God took and parted the waters, if God did those great miraculous things, guess what? What God did then, God is still able to do today. We got to be reminded of the past. I tell you, some of us remember the day that God saved us. And I tell you, there has to be a time in your life when you repented of your sin and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gloriously saved you. It's not by a church. It's not by tradition. It's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what God did for you and how God saved you is the same grace, is the same power, is the same strength that can help you each and every day of your lives. See, remember what God did in the past. How God took care of them. God led them. God gave them a leader. I tell you, Moses did not want that place of leadership. We can see that throughout Scripture. But God put Moses in that place. And Moses was a leader. And if you look at Moses' life, Moses, what I would be considered a servant leader. And that's an example through Scripture of all the leaders that were great leaders were those that were servants first, even Jesus Christ himself. They were servant leaders. And Moses was in that place of leadership. Moses was guiding the people. Was Moses perfect? No. When he was supposed to speak to the rock, he smote the rock. When Moses was supposed to do certain things, Moses didn't do it. We know even Aaron was a leader, and Aaron didn't do well when Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments, did he? He let them take the gold and take the things and make a golden calf. I'm not saying the leaders were perfect, but I'm saying they had leaders that were trying to lead them in the right direction. God gave them the leadership that he gave them to guide them through the wilderness. I tell you, today God has given us leadership. Remember this. There's been people in your life that God has placed in your life for a purpose and for a reason. It's not by accident that some of you are in this church and some of you have developed relationships with people in this church. Do you know, and I'm not trying to call anybody out, but I've learned a lot from several people in this church. Now, I've learned some things, what to do and what not to do. Even though I'm technically the leader of the church, it doesn't matter. We all should be teachable. We all should be learning. Now, I've learned from Brother Rich. Now, I thought I knew a little bit about gardening. And I thought I knew a little bit how to plant seeds and that. I didn't realize all the work. And let me tell you, it's not as easy as we think it is. You don't set it and forget it and hope you get tomato plants this tall, all right? It does not happen. You've got to put a lot of work into that. I've learned that over the times. And even when John and Judy were doing the garden, I learned a lot from them too. I learned a lot from them because I learned that. And I learned this too. I like the results of that. But I don't know if I always like the work of that. And I praise the Lord for someone that's crazy enough to want to do that. And so you learn from that. I want to be honest. I've learned from those in the past, and I'm glad God's put certain people in my life. I went back a while back to celebrate the ministry of 40 years of Pastor Brian Tanis. He was my youth pastor. He was my mentor. He was the one that was at Maranatha when I was there. He's a person I talk to at least once or twice a week. I learn from him. I learn from him. I'm glad God's put those leaders and those individuals in my life so I can glean and get the information and get the teaching and learn things in my life. We all need to be teachable. And God gave them Moses. I tell you, I thought about this for a moment as I was preparing this. They had a great leader. And they still did wrong. Do you know? That hits a little bit, doesn't it? Because sometimes we blame all the leadership sometimes. We blame if we had a better pastor. And I know if you did, you'd be a lot better off. If we had a better pastor. If we had a better mom. If we had a better dad. If we had a better husband. If we had a better wife. If we had better church members. If we had this, then we would do better. You know what? Look who the disciples had. They had Jesus himself, and they still didn't do everything right. The idea is this. Thank God for the leadership he's given you. And follow that leadership. And be willing to learn from that leadership. And so the children of Israel, Paul was reminding them, hey, guess what he did for your forefathers? Don't be ignorant of these truths. Hey, I want to tell you this morning, don't be ignorant of what God's done in your life. Don't be ignorant to think about what God's done in the past for your parents, your grandparents, your siblings. Don't be ignorant of the truth. Don't be ignorant of what God's done in this church. Don't be ignorant of how God has saved souls. Don't be ignorant of how God has changed lives. Don't be ignorant of those things. I want us to be reminded this morning. I want us to be reminded this morning that we're not to be ignorant of what God has done in our lives. And how God has transformed us. And how God changes. Don't be ignorant of your salvation. Don't be ignorant how you were headed to the destination in the lake of fire. But God gloriously saved you and pulled you out of the miry pit and set your feet upon the rock. Don't be ignorant of those truths.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be ignorant of those things. They were under the cloud. And all passed through the sea. And were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It says, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. Do you know God's provided the same cloud? And God provided the same meat, the spiritual meat. You know, that's interesting because it's going to talk about the rock, and that's Jesus. We're going to get into that. But you know what he's saying? They had all the same teachings. They had the same leadership. They had the same doctrine. They had the same spiritual meat that was given to them. You know what's interesting? I've heard throughout my 20-some years of ministry, 23 years now of full-time ministry, you know what I've heard? I went to church, I got nothing out of it. And then I've also heard, man, God really fed me. The same message. The same message. I know someone that said, well, I've read this portion of Scripture and got nothing out of it. All those names listed in the Old Testament. What's the point of all that? I got nothing out of it. Then I talked to someone else. Jim Myers was telling me one time, his best devotions was reading those names, he told me. He started praying and crying over it because God used those and saw the lineage and saw the truths and saw the things there. Wow! How can someone read this and get nothing out of it? How can someone read this and get something out of it? How can someone be in church and get nothing out of it? And someone be in the same service and get something out of it? It's because the same spiritual meat's given. We just have to be open to the truths of the Word of God. You see, they had everything they needed. They had the spiritual meat given to them. It's the same spiritual meat. Do you know the Word of God has not changed? The same message that you're hearing today is a similar message that they heard 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, because it's from the same portions of Scripture. It's from the same God. It's the same message. It's the same truth that got a hold of people's heart and got them on fire for God. It's the same message. But why aren't we running a race well if it's the same spiritual meat? Why aren't we running it well if it's the same spiritual provision? It's the same truths being taught. It's the same thoughts given from the Word of God. He says, I've given you the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock that followed God's people was God. Now, I said earlier, I believe miraculously, somehow, God always provided water for them, if you look that, in the wilderness. To me, that's a wonderful picture. You think about as they're going through the wilderness, and we know what a wilderness is. It's not lush lakes everywhere you turn, all right? How many ever been in the desert before? How many ever been in a place that you thought you saw water, but there was no water? All right, you know that is a mirage. And you thought something was there, and you're going through this. And he says, but everywhere they went, God took care of them, and God gave them that physical water. But beyond that, God was their spiritual water. What a wonderful thought. Anyone remember an event in the Scriptures about the woman at the well? She came to seek physical water. But there she met Jesus. And Jesus was talking about what? Spiritual water. He says, I'm going to give you water that you're never going to thirst again. I'm going to give you this living water. I'm going to give you this water that's going to transform your life. And the Bible says that God gave that spiritual water to the children of Israel when they're in there. Now it's interesting. There's some wording here I want you to see in this verse. Look at verse number 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. You see, this is the New Testament, talking about an event that took place in the Old Testament. And what he's saying is, that rock that was there, that was Christ there. Because they were looking forward to the Christ. We look back to the Christ. But Christ was there, even in the Old Testament, by the way. Because Christ is who? He is God. You see, we understand that there is three, but they're in one, called the Trinity. We don't have time to get into the whole idea of the Trinity. But I want you to understand, even in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There weren't three gods, there was one God. But in that, you even see the Trinity and the creation of this world. And then you go back to this portion of Scripture, and it says that rock that provided the spiritual needs of the individuals was Christ. Do you know that rock that supplies our needs today? Our spiritual needs is Christ. Do you know all I need is Christ? You see, a lot of times we think we need some rituals. We need some traditions. We need some man's words or man's philosophies or man's programs. But you know all I need is Christ. You know what all the children of Israel needed? They needed God. They needed Christ. They didn't need anything else. I'm glad God gave them a physical leader, but they needed to follow Christ even more than they followed the physical leader. That's why Paul said many times, follow me as I follow God. And the idea was this. Christ gave them all that they needed. Learn from the past. Christ gave the children of Israel all they needed. God has given you and me all that we need. You know, you don't need anything else but God. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I just had this, then things would be great. I would live for God even more if I had this. No, you have all the spiritual food you need. You have all that you need in Christ. He's given you all the strength. He's given you all the power. You see, the reason the children of Israel were able to keep going through the children in the wilderness and go the 40 years, and it was because of their sin, yes, but they were able to wander in their wilderness and be able to keep going is because God gave them the strength. You know how Moses was able to keep leading the people? Because God gave them the strength. You know how they were able to handle the obstacles and the things that they faced in the wilderness? Because God gave them the strength. Don't be ignorant of what God did in the wilderness for them. Don't be ignorant how he gave them the power and the strength and the ability to get through it. And yes, we know many of them, because of their unbelief, did not make it into the promised land. Most of those that were alive did not make it. There's only two that made it. But God gave them the strength. God can give you the strength in your life. God is all that you need to make it through the trials and the struggles and the things that you're facing in your life. God has given you all that you need. And he's your spiritual rock. He is your spiritual source. He's where we need to tap into. That's where the water is. That's where the strength is. That's where the power is. We need to tap into his power, his strength in our lives. Now, I was going to use this illustration before. I heard someone struggle this last week with this, but I'm going to use it anyways. There's a thing called dehydration. Dehydration takes place because we do not put in our bodies that which we need to be able to sustain and to keep going. It's a lack of liquid, and even certain liquids that keep us hydrated in our bodies. And we need that to stay hydrated. If we don't, if we become dehydrated, what happens? We become weak. We become sick. We become tired. Do you know what happens when you don't have the spiritual living strength of Christ, that living water in you? You become weak. You become tired. You become sick. You know what some of us need? We need a spiritual IV this morning. We need a spiritual IV. We need to get that tapped into us, because we need to get rehydrated. We need to get back on fire for God. We need that strength once again in our lives. Paul identified the source of the strength. That spiritual rock which provided living water was Christ. But we need to be reminded of our past provisions. But I want you to look at verse number 5. We need to be reminded of the past dealings. Now this, we don't always like. We're glad to focus on the positive, right? We're glad to focus on what? Yeah, a lot of times we focus on that, but we're glad to focus on the positive. We don't want to focus on the negative. We don't want to focus on those things there. Why? Because, man, you know what? That's good that God did this for them and God brought that up to them. But you know what? I don't want someone to call me on the carpet. But you know what Paul says? I'm going to remind you of God's past provisions, but I'm going to remind you of God's past dealings with them. Look at verse number 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Woo! Let's stop there for a moment. All right. I hope you brought your steel-toe boots in this morning. Because I believe many people in our world today that claim to be a believer God is not going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I believe what Paul was trying to get them to see, even though there were some good people back during this time that he's talking about, of the children of Israel, I believe there were some that were striving to live right. But he says, on a whole, many of them did not please God with their lives. I think this morning, I think there are many people this morning, God's not pleased. God's not pleased how we're living. God's not pleased with what we're doing. I want us to think about that for a moment. Oh, we're going to get into a little more of this verse here, but I want to stop at this thought of well-pleased. Well-pleased means, says, great job. You've done it. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Oh, I'm glad you accomplished this. Not being well-pleased is, I love you, but I'm sorry you fell short. I love you, but you've broken my heart. I love you, but it brings tears to my eyes. What have you done? Now, I'm not trying to get any emotions or any thoughts here, because I know some of you struggle with this. But I tell you, there's some times that your kids have pleased you, and there's some times your kids have not pleased you. There's times that you can say with joy, I'm so pleased for what you've done and how you've lived. But there's other times you hear about when your children have done certain things. The tears come down your eyes. Your heart is broken. And you're crying and you're pouring out for them because they have not done what they should have done. I'm going to be honest this morning. There's times as a pastor of the church that I've been well pleased. Because I've seen people on fire for God, serving for God, living for God, sold out, involved, put God first in their lives. And I tell you, that brings great joy. And I'm excited, I'm cheering, I'm fire myself because of it. But I'll be honest with you. There's times I have not been well pleased. When I've seen people that used to be on fire, not on fire anymore. When I've seen people that used to serve God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, and they're not doing it anymore. It breaks my heart when I hear about people in the church that fall into sin. It breaks my heart when I hear people turn their back upon God. It breaks my heart to see those things. But then I imagine, what does it do to my God, who is a holy, perfect, awesome God, when I don't do what God wants me to do? It says the children of Israel did not please God. Learn from the past dealings. God wants us to do well. God does not want you to fail. God does not want me to fail. God wants to see us have victory. God wants us to run the race well. Paul didn't want the church of Corinth to fail. Paul wanted the church of Corinth to succeed. Paul wanted those believers to be on fire for God and run that race and take the gospel out to the whole world and see people come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's heartbeat was. We saw that all the way back in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians as he poured out his heart writing this letter to them. But there is the past dealings. They didn't please God. And I'll look at a little further in verse 5 here. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Did you see those words, though? Many of them. There are some that God was pleased with. But the majority, God wasn't pleased. Majority of believers today aren't pleasing God. I'm glad there's some. I'm glad there's a few. And if you are one of the few, keep on going. If you're not one of the few, become part of the few and get on fire for God. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. The people God provided for rebelled against God and they were overthrown. What does that mean? They were destroyed because of the rebellious heart, because of their sin in the wilderness. Do you know everyone that went in the wilderness? You know, if they would have just done things right, every one of them could have been in the promised land. But because of their sin, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Because of the rebellion, and yes, there were some that did right, but because of the other people's rebellion, guess where they were at? In the wilderness. And they went through the same trials, the same things, because of the rebellion of those individuals. I want you to see this. They didn't have to. If they would have just chose God and said, God, you said we can have the promised land. We're not going to be fearful. Let's go in and get our promised land. They would never wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But as they were in their wilderness, most of them were destroyed because of their rebellion. Do you know what sin does in our lives? It destroys us. Do you know what God wants? He wants you to run well. But you know what rebellion is? When we're not doing what God wants us to do. You can call anything you want to call it. But rebellion is simply, God says to do it, I don't do it. Doesn't matter the excuses I have, I'm not doing it. If God says, this is what I want, and I say, well, God, I know that's what you want, but I'm going to do this instead, that's rebellion. Even if I have 50 reasons why I'm doing this, if God says it's what I'm supposed to do, then I'm supposed to do it. Let me give an illustration. When you tell your kids what to do, does it matter how many reasons they have why they can't do it? How many of you have said to one of your kids, please take out the trash? And one of the common reasons that kids can't take out the trash, all of a sudden, at that moment of time, I have homework to do. How many have heard that before? They've never done homework a day in their life. But man, you ask them to wash the dishes or take out the trash. I have homework to do. Or take out the trash, wash dishes. I have to use the restroom. And then they go in the restroom for 30, 40 minutes and stay in the restroom. Or maybe that's your husband that does that. And there's a reason. You come up with all these reasons. Well, if I do what you ask me to do, then that's going to take away from time that I'm supposed to be doing something else. Wait. If God says it, and we decide not to do it, just like the kids, there's no reasons good enough not to do what God's asked us to do. That is rebellion. We don't like to look at it that way. But it's rebellion. It's saying, no, God. Well, I would never say it like that. How many of you had your kids look at you and say, I love you, Mom and Dad, but I really don't want to do what you tell me to do. Is that the same? But that's still rebellion, right? How many of you have kids say, no? Right? Do you know both responses is still rebellion? Both responses is still rebellion. Because you're still saying no to God. The children of Israel says, well, we're not going to go into the promised land because there's giants. Because the enemy is great. Because of all these things. No, God, not right now. We're not going in there. There could have been some that said, well, God, we're not going to go there because this, I want to protect my children. And I want to protect my children. I don't want them to get overtaken by the enemy. I don't want to go over here. Wait a second. Even that might be good intentions to take care of your children. God said, go take the promised land. The promised land's always yours. And you said, no to God. Well, God wants you to do something in your life. God says, hey, I want you to live this way. I want you to give this way. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. You say, well, if I do that, then my wife can't do this, and my kids can't do this, and oh, this might put my kids in a bad spot. This might be put my kids over here and there. Hey, if God's called you to do it, if God's told you to do something, and you say no to God, no matter what reasons you have, it's still rebellion against God. That's what Paul wanted them to get them to see. The past dealings. You're not pleasing God because you're rebellion. It's calling us out, isn't it? The reason God's not happy with us as believers today is because believers today have rebelled against God. We're not sold out to God anymore. We're not putting God first anymore. We say God's a priority. But let me ask you this morning, how many of, you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about it. How many of us, is God truly a priority in our life? Well, I don't think many of us. Let me give some illustrations. I understand certain times, certain things happen, and I understand that. But it's amazing to me how many people can do stuff on a Saturday and not make it church on a Sunday. What's a priority? Because if God's truly important to me, guess what? I will not do something on Saturday so I can be there Sunday. You know, if God's a priority in me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go without watching my favorite TV program so I can read the Word of God. I came across is some statistics this last week. The average Christian, and I use that loosely, watches 10 to 15 hours of TV a week. Now some will a whole lot more, but 10 to 15 hours a week. The average Christian reads their Bible less than 30 minutes a week. Not a day, a week. Wait a second. 10 to 15 hours on a television program, 30 hours in the Bible. 30 minutes. What's the priority? What's the priority? You say, we've rebelled against God. We're not well pleased because of this. The average believer will talk sports, politics, weather with someone 15 to 20 hours a week. The average believer witnesses to someone less than once a week. Wait a second. We'll talk 15, 20 hours about this, and we won't even talk 10 minutes about the gospel. Where's our priorities? We've rebelled against God. God's not pleased. God has asked us to give our time. Do you know we are very busy people? How many is a busy person? Everyone in this room is busy, even those that are retired. You're a different busy, but you're busy. We're very busy people. But you know what? We have time for what we want to have time for. Did you know that? You have time for what you want to have time for. Or no, I got to take little Johnny to this game, and I got to take little Susie to this place, and I got to take my husband here, and I got to go here, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. I don't have any time. No, you have time for what you want to have time for. Because guess what? You can say no to those things and yes to God, and give God the time. Do you know what? 20 years from now, if little Johnny, little Susie played that game, it's not going to make a difference. Do you know if your husband was eight, if he had to take your husband so he could go get that Big Mac at McDonald's, it's not going to make a difference. Do you know if we're involved in this thing and that thing. All right, it's great to have a hobby. It's great to crochet and do those certain things. But let me tell you, if you have time for that, but you don't have time for God, what do you need to do? Take down that time of this, what you're doing over here, and give that time to God. I'm not saying you can't have hobbies. I'm not saying you can't take your kids' things. I'm not saying you can't do those things. But you're busy for what you want to be busy for. You have time for what you want to have time for. And we rebel against God because what we're doing is not giving God that first place in our lives. And we're not well pleased. Many of them weren't well pleased because they rebelled against God. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were destroyed in the wilderness because of their rebelling against God. But I want you to look at verse number 6. Now these things were our examples to the tent. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We need to be reminded of past mistakes, past sins, past desires. You see, God dealt with what? He reminded them, Paul reminded them of what? Of how God provided. God reminded them, Paul reminded them of what? Past dealings. But then he also now is going to concentrate on their past failures or past sins. He's going to remind them of those things. Now we're just going to get into this verse. Next week is going to be part two of this message, that we're going to springboard off of this into this. But look at verse 6, because this is going to set the stage, and this is the thought I want us to end with this morning. Now, these things were our examples to the tent we shall not lust after evil things. What he's going to give us is not an all-inclusive list, is what he's saying. What he's going to give you is to get your minds and set to see, hey, this is what they were thinking. This is why they ended up in the way they were. It's not an all-inclusive list. This is just an example of their mindset, their way of living, their way of doing. But he said, bottom line, even as I'm going to give, and he's going to go through, and he's going to give some individual areas. And that's what we're going to get into next week. He's going to give those individual areas. He's going to lay it out, those individual areas. He's going to call them on the carpet for those areas. But he says, all that has to do, their evil ways of doing things, has to do with their own lust. That word lust is the same word that we get the word flesh. All their evilness that they were doing, all the rebellion that the children of Israel are doing, all their past sins, all their past failures had to do with the flesh. Now get this. Overthrown in the wilderness because of what? Their flesh. We're overthrown today, destroyed today because of our flesh. Do you know we're in a battle today? We don't battle in the physical sense. It's a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. And what's the attacks? Against our flesh. Against our lust. Against us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. And it talks about if we have the flesh and have the lust and have those things, we're going to reap corruption. But we have the Spirit, we're going to reap life everlasting. And what's the thought? What is being taught here? He says, the children of Israel did evil because they followed their feelings, they followed their flesh, they followed their emotions, they followed their own ways of thinking instead of following God. And then he's going to list those sins. Again, not an all-inclusive list, but give us an idea, some thoughts there. Do you know why we're in the state we're in? Because we're following our flesh this morning. Do you know why we're not pleasing God and not running our race well this morning? Because we are doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. Well, you say, well, that's not me, preacher. I'm a perfect believer. I am perfect. I'm doing everything that I should be doing. Well, next week, we're going to look at those lists. And as we give those lists next week, we're going to break them up even smaller than the way they are there. And I'm going to ask you to give yourself a test. Because next week you're going to see, are you following the flesh or are you following the spirit? We're commanded to run our race well. Paul gave the illustration of the race in chapter 9. He says, with that illustration, I want to illustrate this. The children of Israel did not run the race well. They had all the opportunities, everything they needed to run it well, but they didn't do it because of certain things. Now, they had the provisions. They had the past dealings. They had their past failures. They had all this there they could learn from and be taught from, and he's trying to get them to see this, but they didn't turn. Next week, we'll continue this thought of learning from the past. But this morning, let me ask you a question. First and foremost, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been that time in your life that you realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? The only thing that can save you is not a church. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. We must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him. And the Bible says, if we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. But believer, are you teachable this morning? Or do you think you have arrived spiritually? Paul says, he didn't arrive. Paul says, I have not attained. Paul says, I need to keep learning. And he wanted the church of Corinth to see where they were struggling and what they could do so they could run the race well. You know what my prayer for this church is? Not that you're all perfect, because you'll never be there. Because you don't have a perfect pastor. But you know what my prayer is for this church? That every one of us will run our race well. And learn from our past mistakes, our past failures, and our past provisions. And follow God. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I ask that you just use this portion of scripture we looked at this morning just to work in our hearts and in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as you stand with me, no looking about. As the music is softly playing, go ahead and just take a moment with the heads bowed, eyes closed. As the pianist is playing this hymn, I want you to just take